This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca.
Welcome to another episode of Lunch with a Healer. I'm Dr. Susan Hoffman. My guest today, Vicki Helm, is a business and asset development strategist and is deeply spiritual, having graduated with a degree in accounting and finance, as well as graduating from the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. She combines business and spirituality together to create more wealth and wholeness. Vicki is the CEO of Smart Group Firm, co-CEO of Metadime Digital Network, and is the acclaimed international best-selling author of over 40 books. She's also the host of the popular Coffee Break Show with Vicki Helm. For those of you looking to have more success, more assets, and more wealth, along with deeper relationships and a sense of purpose, or simply want to achieve your highest potential, Vicki shares her secrets to maximizing your potential and multiplying your results. She shares with you how you can take your life to the next level by helping you tap into your own inner genius so you can have a life of passion, purpose, and prosperity. I have a very powerful episode in store for you today. So without further ado, here is my interview with Vicki Helm.
The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Welcome to Lunch with a Healer, Vicki.
Thank you. It's so fabulous. I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
So am I. Well, why don't we start with you sharing a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm not sure how far we want to go back.
As far as you want, that gets you to where you are now.
Okay. I'm going to start from very young. I had parents that made their living illegally. They made drugs, sold drugs, smuggled drugs. They did all of that. And, you know, as I was very entrepreneurial from a very long time, very early. And in my healing journey, because I see the two together, fast forward, love entrepreneurship over having a job. I love healership. I've had three different healing practices at different times. I had one in Europe for about 2.5 years, and I had a couple in the United States as well. Graduated from the Barbara Brennan School of Healing umpty years ago, which was really great for me. And during my time at Barbara Brennan, you have to write a thesis in order to graduate. And my thesis was on the healership of business ownership. So the healership of business ownership. At that time, there were not very many people at the school who were into business at all. And at that time, it was thought that your healership and your business were two separate things at work and everywhere. These are two, so your religious beliefs, your spirituality, everything was separate from how your income was. And I just did not agree with that. For some reason, I knew that my business reflected where I was in that moment in consciousness. And what I found was that when I started a business, the thing that had been holding me back my entire life, that's the thing that showed up. That's the first thing that happened right then. And so it allowed me to look at my blocks back when we didn't look at blocks between spirituality and success. And so I have been doing that, working with it, preaching it, writing it. I have spirituality and business as one thing, and I love them both. That's kind of a nutshell of who I am.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are going to dive deep into that because I really find it fascinating. How many businesses do you have right now?
That I'm CEOing right now?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. And you're a consultant as well, are
mm-hmm.
you?
I own a consulting firm.
Right. Metadime.
Metadime is a network. It's a media network. Metadime Digital is a huge media network. My consulting firm is Smart Group Firm. healer.com. And it has, it does consulting for businesses and things like that. But we developed Metadime Digital for the purpose of doing live shows, because what we found, or what I find in the industry, is that when you do media that is syndicated, it can be altered and moved. And thus, we have a boatload of disinformation in the media realm. And so to take that on, we do live shows. And so we have probably 6 live shows running on Metadime Digital as live show. We're the first live show network in the world that I know of right now. We're the first live show network done. But yes, Metadime Digital, I co-CEO with that. My other partner CEO, Tracy Wilson, she just is outstanding. But yeah, that's what Metadime Digital is.
How did you learn the skill set to do all these different things? It's not just from a degree in accounting, which is not it's a wonderful thing, but there's much more involved.
Okay, we're going to go drop the deep right now and go in there. In my healership, there is a point where you either are trying to control your life or surrender your life. So when you surrender your life to the divine, I have started 18 businesses, but only 13 of those businesses have been successful. There was a couple that, you know, really tanked and hit the skids. Anything that I have started using my own mind, like I'm going to do this and control this, that has failed. I don't do anything that the divine hasn't told me to step in and do. And when I step in and do that, then what happens is I have to just surrender to listening to what they say for me to do, listening in that inward knowing that says, today you're going to write this book, or today you're going to build this company. And when I do that, there is an effortlessness in the feeling of doing it. There's love and joy and excitement. And when I surrender, the people whom I'm supposed to work with show up out of nowhere. And that to me is, it's magic. I just got a pretty big deal for a piece of media that I bought for my other company, Done Today. And one of the guys that I was negotiating the deal with said, you're my favorite person I've ever worked with in my whole life, and your communication skills are what I like. And what happens is you can feel what the divine wants you to do or say, with practice, of course. I'm not, you know, saying I'm 100%, but my batting average is higher than the average person. And thus, when I start a business, I don't start a business that the divine hasn't told me to start. And that's kind of the biggest secret to my success.
That's huge. And, you know, this is what we're going to talk about. All right. So when you went to the healing school, you already had experienced success.
Yes.
So why did you feel you needed to go even deeper? You already were successful.
Well, success is an accolade that's in this realm. The reason you go deeper is because there's always more. Even if you hit the big kahuna and now you're enlightened, that's like level one enlightenment. There's level 2, 3, 4, 5. And what happens is, and I want to be so clear about this, I want everyone to know, I want to be as transparent as possible. In the beginning, success was a mask for me. And underneath that mask was my self-hate, my self-loathing, and everything about who I was. And the way I hid from that was the more I achieved, the more I could like myself. And if I wasn't achieving, then I had to deal with who I was. But then after I was done with that, after you go through the transformation piece, like, can you be successful and be nothing and enjoy who you are in your nothingness? Like, enjoy what you like, enjoy who you are. And in the beginning, I couldn't. I was trying to make people proud of me. I was trying to belong. I was trying to have, you know, some influence in the world, et cetera. And when I started, I had this natural love of spirituality. So I did 5 shamanism schools and did all of them. And by all lengths, I was that shaman. And I don't even like that word. I don't use it. I don't want anyone to know, oh yes, you could call me a shaman. Who gives a crap? This is human potential. And I want to model for the world human potential. But the only way human potential can really have a thriving place to live is when you decide to love you so deeply that you become the most important person in your heart and soul. Your soul does, not your personality, but your soul becomes the most important part of you. And then your divine guide, your that master that helps you go through your life together. Those two things together, when they meet, that's when you can recognize your own gifts, your own love, your own everything. So in the beginning, my success was a mask. Authentic success is completely different. And to give you an example, a lot of people drive profit in business. So you start a business to make money. That's what you do.
Right.
I have started businesses like we started an ice cream store in a town in Boulder. And in that ice cream store, there were 3 couples that worked it and nobody needed the money for it at all. Nobody needed any of the profits because right. all of us owned a business outside of it. So all of the profits, we got to give back to the town. We got to give and give and give and give. And that was a turning point for me to realize how important business is. Because business, although there's a profit portion, when you don't need the profits anymore, you get to go play. We soccer fields, fire departments, programs for the elderly, for kids, and you get to make the world a better place.
Right.
That to me is a type of healership, just like laying on of hands, just like taking somebody through a journey, just like that is a type of healership. And that's where spirituality and business can literally change the world. And I hope I answered your question with that.
Very well. I mean, that was so beautifully articulated. I just would like to ask you about your own healing journey, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm curious, was it a long process until you came from Vicky, the person who had to have external success before you could look at yourself and feel that you were a success yourself, to the Vicky who authentically has self-love? How long a process was that?
Well, I don't think I'm ever out of it because healing is a life journey. It's right. like breathing air. Every day, every moment, the universe is with you, hoping to communicate with you, to give you a little nugget, to give you, you know, and at any moment, I mean, there by the grace of God go I, and at any moment, something could happen that would take me on a deeper healing journey. You don't know.
So
right now, I would say that if you could embrace healing as part of living and the journey that is you, then there isn't a point of where it's cessation, like you've arrived. You never arrive.
Okay.
And even upon death, you would never arrive. So for me, right. I'm still in the journey, and the journey is there because it's a part of my quality of life.
Right.
That's the biggest point of having spirituality, is because it is the heartbeat of quality of life.
Okay. While you were talking, I was thinking what I really wanted to ask as well was, how long was it until you actually felt connected and was able to surrender to the universe, to the divine?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was 3 years old, I used to see auric images, like angels or white light. And it kind of got beat out of me. And at 12 years old, I can remember the exact moment at 12 years old where I knew that I was born to go through what we're going through right now in this world, and that I was to do the work I was doing. So I would say I started at 12 and have continued then, but the lessons at 12 were very Christian at the time, because that was right. that was the only availability of things. So right. I didn't feel indoctrinated. I felt anointed. And that anointedness came through because at 12 years old, you're more innocent. And the truth is, every single person, including the person listening right now, and I'm speaking to you, that light worker, knows inside themselves that they were born to make a difference in the world. They were born to do something great. And they don't tell anyone, and they maybe they don't even feel like they're good enough or whatever it is. And I remember feeling those spaces in me where, you know, the dream you had was so big that you could talk yourself out of it. Although it sat in your soul and in your heart so long, and at night you lay down, and even though you don't feel well, you feel like there's something I'm not doing and I can't remember what it is, and I'm supposed to do it. And I know I'm supposed to do that. That, I think, every light worker, that will drive you crazy for the rest of your life until you answer that calling, you know? And to me, that's when that happened. In my innocence, I would say 12 was the key.
Okay. And then through the work you did at the Barbara Brennan School, it developed, I imagine.
I did a lot of work. Barbara Brennan was one place that I went to. It was my favorite place. Like, I've studied Hawaiian with a Hawaiian kahuna, with an Aboriginal shaman, with a, you know, Mexican, you know, Native American. I mean, I've done all the shamanism schools. But back in the day when Barbara Brennan was running the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, I was there, and I thought that was the best self-development spiritual program I've ever been in. That was my favorite one. I've been on the hill and I've done all the fasting and blah, blah, blah that you do for all the other trainings. And I'm so thankful and grateful for all of them, because each one does something. But at Barbara Brennan, what happens there is it's not just that you do your healing. It's that you confront your purpose. You can't hide from it or run from it. There is a place and a container there where you carefrontationally, I like that word, it's from Lisa Nichol, carefrontationally, look at those things that you're passionate about, so that when you're moving forward with your healing, like I started off doing hands-on healing and had clients and everything else. I was booked out for 3.5 months ahead of time, 9 clients a day, and I realized I couldn't keep it up. So after 2.5 years, I realized that if I wrote a book, then I could talk to thousands of people at once and not one at a time. And I started speaking and doing events and writing books so that I could talk to more people and find out how I could serve them better. And I realized that sometimes healers need to have that one-on-one practice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and you'll feel it in yourself, if you're supposed to have a grander vision, it's already in you and haunting you. And you may feel like, oh my God, I'm so grandiose having these big visions. No, you're not. Who put the big vision inside you?
Exactly. It's what we're meant to do. But people mm-hmm. are, yeah, afraid. What was the largest block that you had to heal in yourself in order to get to where you are now?
Ooh, wow. The biggest one. Nobody's ever asked me that. That's such a great question. For me, I'm going to go with the sexual orientation, because I am gay. And back in the day, it was so hated in the world. It was illegal at one point. There, I couldn't get married. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. I'd get fired from jobs. That's why you become an entrepreneur. You couldn't, you get evicted from rental places. people would threaten my life and everything else. So there was a point where being gay was so abhorred, and in places on the planet, it still is, that you couldn't actually have a life. And I hated myself so badly for being gay. Like back then, it was like there was something wrong with you.
Right.
I thought I was the only gay person on the planet.
Yeah.
And somehow getting over that piece of the thing you didn't want to be, because I wanted to fit in like everyone else. I wanted to belong. Right. But thank God that I didn't, because I wouldn't have strived to do or be or have something else if I didn't have that initial trauma. And for me, I would say my sexual orientation was that.
Okay, that's huge. And so many people, unfortunately, are still going through that because times have changed. But, you know,
yeah, there's still such self-hate. Oh, and that's the reason the self-hate is what I tried to hide that self-hate through success. I tried to be so successful that everybody would go, well, you know, she's a lesbian, but she's the best at sales, the best at this or the best at that. We need her. We'll just overlook this thing about her and go there. And that's how my success started. And I didn't want to live like that. I was hiding it. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. And really what you wanted to do is, how could I love and accept myself?
Right.
So I went to Barbara Brennan specifically and addressed that really there. That's the big deep work. Everything else was learning how to meet my guides or meet this or look at your auric vision or hear out of your ear and use all of your extra sense perception or, you know, be miraculous. I didn't want to be miraculous. I wanted to be loved.
Right.
And that was vastly different.
Is that the number one area where everyone should start, is with self-love?
Yes. Everybody starts a project with two intentions. One is to hide a piece of their shadow, and one is to try and gain some equilibrium inside themselves with that shadow. We don't address the shadow side, which is, I hate myself, or I'm not enough, or I don't like myself, and blah, blah, blah. None of this is true, but you've just said it enough to yourself that you believe it. And so even though they tell you, you can change what you believe and your life will change, it won't change if you don't believe it. If you don't believe what's lovable about you, if you don't believe what's good about you, if you don't believe that you have inner gifts, and everybody has inner gifts, you will maybe make a little success and come back, a little success and come back, versus make that quantum leap.
Right. So in saying that, do you believe that affirmations without feeling authentic about the statement are useful? Or is it a fake it till you make it type thing?
No, I actually love affirmations. And here's the thing. I don't talk about affirmations in the way of where I'm faking it till I make it. If I don't believe it, I will say, I am becoming whatever, fill in. Right. I'm becoming more healthy. I'm becoming more. Right. And then when I know I'm more healthy, I start saying, I am more healthy. Okay. I am more successful. I am more, you know, whatever it is. So when I first started writing books, I had a degree in accounting and I sucked at spelling, sucked at writing. So I'd never been trained. And I was like, well, I'm becoming a writer. I'm becoming a writer. And every day I would write at least 1 to 5 to whatever. I would write every single day. And even though I released my first book, I still didn't feel like a writer. And I kept practicing and practicing and doing it and doing it. And then the second, the third, the fourth. And I realized one day, yes, I'm a writer, and I could feel it in me. And I think that comes with not 10,000 hours, but there's an hours and a point in you where the work becomes effortless, not effortful. And when it becomes effortless for me, that's when I'm like, okay, I've made that transition.
Well, now you've brought up the books, and I mean, You've written 41 books.
Yeah.
41 books.
Yes.
That's an incredible feat. Truly.
Thank you.
Are they all basically self-empowerment books?
No, I have business books and I have spiritual books. I have The Secret Joy of You, which is unlocking your inner gifts. I think that is a great spiritual start for everyone as they go in. And I have The Ultimate Freedom, which is another book about freeing yourself from all sorts of stuff. And then I have, like, I have Cashflow Mojo coming out in about a month. And that book is all about how to get rich, stay rich, and financially free. I mean, so I have both of them, you know?
That's honestly, that's wonderful and crazy all at the same time. And I know on your website, you talk about writing books in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, did it take you a while to be able to complete a book in a month?
You know, this is a very good question. And I will tell you that the book is how I listen to the master. The book is how I listen to the guides. Oh. I don't know what I'm going to write. I've never sat down and said, I'm going to outline this book and write it. I will be walking one day. I could be having a dinner with friends at a restaurant. And somebody can say one sentence. And I know the feeling now because I've 41 books later, I know the feeling. And I will grab my trusty iPhone and I will text me the title of the book because somebody will have said it at the table and I'll go, ooh, good book title. And I wait until the feeling comes first. And the feeling is like birthing versus my mind analyzing and outlining. Birthing, when I feel the birthing time and I sit down at the computer and I put the WordPress document up, it'll outline the book for me. I can feel it come through me. I don't write books with my brain. I write books with my divine. Wow. And what needs to be said in the moment is why it comes out so effortlessly. The fastest I've written a book is in 10 days. Wow. And from start to finish. I know my publisher loves that. But at the same time, I'm not trying to think my way through this. I am the vessel for the divine. And for me, the shamanic journey that I put myself through when I write a book is that surrender into that. And so my mind comes in when it uses the typewriter and make sure the paragraphs are right or, you know, all the other things. But everything else, that is access from the divinity. I don't think the mind can write 41 books. I think the soul can. And for me, it is that practice of doing that.
Does everyone have to do shamanic journeys to be able to get to the place where you are, Vicky?
No, that's the path I took. And the reason I say no is because, you know, the path for me started, you know, a couple of decades ago. And over the decades, consciousness has arisen, consciousness has awakened. Yeah. There are faster, quicker ways than there were, say, you know, in the 90s to evolve. And had I had them, now my advancement would have been quantum leap. But the driver for me is what spirituality is for me is about discovering who you are. And I ask myself, I can remember saying to myself, I want to know who I am before I die. The whole journey of business and love and success and learning and education and vacations is about self-discovery. And the journey of self-discovery is to find out who you are before you die.
Right.
And for me, that journey will never stop, whether I write books, build homes, dig ditches, plant trees, no matter what I do, the discovery of myself, that's the whole point of this. I can't take anything with me at all. The only thing I can take with me is where my consciousness has raised to, who I become. Everything that's Vicky dies and stays on the earth. Right. And everything that my soul gathered along the way, that's the treasure I get to take with me. So right. I want to go for the actual treasure, not, and money comes with the treasure while you're there, but right. the treasure of who you are, that's the thing you get to take with you.
Right. Well, it makes perfect sense the way you say it, you know, yeah. because you're right. Everything else is meaningless. You know, the day we pass, it's just, it is actually so simple, but not at the same time. So
yes.
in your books, do you teach how to awaken your inner genius and creativity?
Yeah, there's, yeah. In The Secret Joy of You, in this book right here, The yep. Secret Joy of You, it's all about awakening your inner genius and your spiritual gifts. And inner genius is, now, inner genius took me a little while to unfold, but inner genius is in everyone. Everyone has a type of inner genius that they absolutely is theirs. And tapping into that, and you can go to Amazon and get The Secret Joy of You. Mm-hmm. It's there. But when you get to the point where you tap into your own personal inner genius, it's the part of you that is so obvious that sometimes you don't even know that, because you're so used to using it all the time, that you don't know it's a gift. You almost think everybody else has that gift. But the truth is, it's super specific. And I outline the five types of inner genius, I outline it also in the book, The She Myth. Mm-hmm. Your inner genius is absolutely outlined in there. And I try to outline it more than one book, because I believe that people become grounded, centered, and more peaceful when they understand what their own inner gift or inner genius is. Mm-hmm. And I just want to add a little more to that. If you go to Corinthians in the Bible, mm-hmm. and it's either Corinthians 12:1 or 1:12. I'm not sure which one it is. But it talks about in the Bible, to each individual will be given an inner gift. That could be inner seeing, inner knowing, inner hearing, and all the gifts are outlined in there. Each individual has that gift. And sometimes it's so right in front of their face, they can't see it because they can't see yeah. the forest from the tree.
What are the three skill sets you think are going to be most needed in the future?
In business or spirituality, in life, it's kind of in, narrow it down for me, which,
okay.
what do you want me to
need? Let's do spirituality first, because I think we're going to need that in order to be successful in business and to survive in this future, in this world.
Great. Thank you for that. That's a beautiful question. The first thing that's going to be needed is willingness, and willingness is a part of you that is either willing to change, willing to observe, willing to witness, willing to take a risk. Willingness is a big key component. But the biggest area of that is willingness to meet who you really are and not what you've been told you are. Mm-hmm. So right now, most people hold the concept of themselves that they've been told, and they haven't design their own concept of who they are based on who they want to be, their basic gifts, etc.
Right.
The first thing in that journey is to know that you're willing to do it. Right. The second thing is to be willing to walk with your guide, your master, your teacher, your own inner knowingness. So every person has been gifted with their own inner knowing about their purpose, their path, each person gifted with that. And each person has been given in that gifted area, somebody or something. I don't know if it's a body or a thing. I call it somebody that they can talk to. That is their inner guidance. That is their inner master. That knows them so well in the way they're supposed to go and what they need to do next. The next thing is you need to be willing to listen to that mm-hmm. and do it. So if it says go left and you go, wait, we're supposed to go right, you go left and surrender mm-hmm. to that voice, that inner knowing, that master, that guide, and constantly talk to it. Now, the second thing you're going to need to do is to realize that you are a soul and you have access to a brain and emotions. You are not your brain and emotions and have access to a soul. You are the soul, and that your brain and your emotions are there to serve you, not for you to serve them. So they are to help you do stuff, not control what you do. Mm. And the transformation has to be that you are willing to lead and have your mind and your emotions follow, give you information, but not control you. And that's the second part of the journey for me. And the third thing that you have to do is let go. I mean, completely let go of the thought of who you think you are. Because what you are as a soul is a pool of potential. That's what everybody is. You don't have potential. None of us have potential. We are potential.
Right.
And there's a vast difference between having potential and being potential. And what that means is whatever you envision, your potential is what tells the law of attraction or the attractor field right. about who you're going to become.
Right.
And lastly, the last thing is you have to love, I mean love without a doubt, who you're becoming. You have to understand, I'm a pool of potential. I love who I'm becoming every single day when I get up. I'm so proud of my efforts, so proud of my work, so proud of the friends I have, so proud of the life I have. That is what you want to become. And you get to say who that is.
I just love that. Basically, it's being able to surrender fully and trust that you are being taken care of, that to stop the fight, to surrender, which I think is the most difficult thing to do.
It is. That's the daily work, isn't it? I totally agree with you, Susan.
Yeah, but it's so worthwhile. I mean, I'm not there yet.
Nobody's there yet.
Yeah, well, you're close.
I don't even care if you're enlightened, you're not there yet.
Right. Some people are closer, and yeah. There must be such a freedom in the way that you go about your daily life.
There's a lot of pleasure there's excitement in being able to feel the master or the guide who is guarding you, so to speak. I want to be honest with the people who are listening. When you first start on this journey, this is the beginning of the journey is the hardest part. That's where you walk through the glass and the nails.
Right.
There are points like the reason I like business is because you can listen to what your mind is saying to you that you believe instead of you telling your mind what you're going to believe. Like in the beginning for me, I used to say, I have writer's block. I never have writer's block. You can sit me down anywhere and I will create now. But what happened was I would quietly in a nanosecond sit down and go, I don't know what to say. I can't write this. I don't know how to write. And it happens in such a second. And that little words that you're saying completely, I just want to tell you everything you think, I don't care what it is. It can only do two things. It doesn't matter what thoughts come through you. There's only two things that they can do. They're either going to impair your abilities or empower your abilities. And that's it. That's the only two things it can do. So now when I sit down, I don't say, I don't know what to say. I say, tell me what you want me to write. How you speak to you is the first thing that has to be different. And I don't say, I don't know how to do this. I say, tell me what you want me to know. And I engage the conversation with the thing that's coming through me. And if it doesn't happen in a second, well, nobody's talking to me. Nobody's saying anything. Well, that's because you're not listening. But the second you say those things, when you first start a business, the thing that's been blocking you your whole life comes up. And it's usually your ability to listen and act upon what you hear.
Most people live in fear, and mm-hmm. the fear will imprison them.
Yes.
And if they don't get beyond that point, they won't be able to use the three very invaluable skill sets that you've yep. articulated beautifully in this show. And that's huge, is walking through the fear out of that prison. Yeah, yep. it's huge.
And when it comes to purpose, that fear is huge. Like, I remember when the guides first came to me, I was at a huge accounting firm, and they were like, leave your job right now. And I was like, what? I mean, right away, your brain comes on. Excuse me, go up, quit your job, go home, and we're going to tell you what to do. And you don't get the whole picture. They're not going to tell you the whole picture, because spirituality, one of the biggest muscles you have to develop is faith.
Right.
And faith isn't something you get good at. Faith is that next step and that next step.
Right.
And it gets deeper and deeper. It's not something you're like, I'm so faithful, I've overcome it. Faith is the part that challenges you.
Absolutely.
And in the beginning, that's a challenge. It's part of your training, and you have to surrender and trust as you walk forward that it'll get easier. But faith is always testing you in that way.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah. One step forward, 3, 10 steps back all the time. How are these guides talking to you? Is it a feeling? Is it like a knowing, or do you actually hear something, hear words?
All of the above. Back in my past life, when I was very young, I used to be a police officer. And when they would train you, when you decided you were going to be, you went through a battery of exams, just a battery of exams. And one of them was a physical exam. And when it got to the hearing test, I thought they weren't going to pick me because I was half deaf in this ear. And I had full hearing in this ear. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. But I went through the test, and they kept testing and testing and testing. Everybody was dismissed from the little hearing testing, but they kept testing me and testing me. And they brought 3 doctors in. And what I found out was that this ear hears normal hearing. And this ear was actually sounds like they said I could hear sounds that dogs heard. Like, they had never seen somebody's wow. hearing off the chart. So it sounds like whispering sometime in my ear.
Wow.
And sometimes when I'm writing a book, I get a feeling.
Right.
And the feeling will tell me, a word will pop in my head, and they won't go until I type that word. Like, if the comes in my head, I have to type the, and the next word, the day, and I type day, the day, and I type that. I surrendered. And finally, now it's fast enough. The day that I surrendered, I could, you know, and yeah. sometimes I even talk it through the mic. Like, I'll use a right. Google Voice type, and I'll right. just talk the book through me.
That's really fascinating. What do you think is the key to financial freedom in this future with the, with the markets like they are, with inflation, this is some practical business advice we're
Thank
going
you.
To hear.
For me, I have a new book coming out, Cashflow Mojo, that answers that whole question. But I will tell you this. Giving your financial independence, outsourcing your financial independence to advisors or things like that, that is, I don't agree with that. Now, I'll tell you where that came from. My dad made his money illegally. And I mean, everything was cash. And he couldn't buy things the way people buy them, like getting a loan or this or that, because he had no job. And it would tip the IRS off to his illegal activities. So he had to move his money completely differently. And he used to tell me, the whole book is about what he taught me about how to handle my financial life. Now, he did it illegally, but I do it all legally now. I do everything legally. And what I found inside of that is that my dad would say, every time you outsource to somebody, they don't really care what risk you took, what you suffered, what you gave up in order to create that wealth. And if you don't know how to turn your wealth into more wealth, then you're completely dependent on somebody else who's really going to siphon your wealth. And so there's a lot of that. And so what I think people need to do is become really good at figuring out the difference between assets, debt, cash flow, business, and cycles, and have in your own possession, you're commanding your own wealth as well. And if you don't know, if you're trusting someone else, then you are dropping the ball. And I really feel that way. And I've done both. I've outsourced my wealth. I've lost huge amounts of it to other people's ignorance and my naivete. And I've even had financial licenses because my dad did everything illegal and I didn't want that. So I went and got the Series 6 and the 63 and the 26 and all the licenses. And I did all of this for a long time when I realized, oh, there's a lot of illegal crap over here as well as here. So the middle road for me is where I teach people to go and how to empower their own self in that way.
So what I get from that is there's a lot of people, for instance, in the stock market who aren't familiar with certain stocks and how it works and what would be best for them. So what I get from you is they either really learn how it works and try to invest themselves or find a different area to invest in that they can do on their own. Maybe property. Maybe something else completely.
Perhaps. I think the biggest issue is that people don't understand what wealth is in the first place. And what we get is, it's like, this is a whole big discussion. I'm just going to go as quick as I can. But wealth isn't what you've been taught. There's a whole other side to wealth that all the uber rich know that the average and the masses do not know. And inside that, the super, super wealthy, they don't invest in the stock market. They don't invest. We do. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that the middle class are so involved in that stock market? And if you look at all the billionaires and everything else, the only person I know that invests in the stock market that way is Warren Buffett.
Right.
But what he invests in is companies. How he pursues it isn't, well, I'll take that mutual fund at Fidelity. That's right. Not what he does. He invests in the companies that are there. And if you look at Elon Musk, if you look at the uber, uber wealthy, what do they actually invest in? And that's like the first step of that. There's a big step, a big, you know, transcending the duality of money is equally as important as transcending the duality of what you live in. And there are, when you rise up in consciousness, you can rise up in money consciousness as well. There's a whole other everything up there, which I cover in Cashflow Mojo. It's going to be out in about a month or so.
Can't wait. I could go on and on with you. This is fascinating. I know you did an episode on your podcast, The Coffee Break Show, about just what we're talking about here. People can tune in and listen because you have very interesting topics.
Thank you.
What's a daily non-negotiable for you?
Every morning I get up and I connect with the divine first thing, daily, non-negotiable. Absolutely do that. Sit down and have my 30 minutes with my guidance, my master, and I have reading material that I have, absolutely non-negotiable. That sets the tone of my life.
Is it in the form of meditation?
I use contemplation, and there's the big debate between meditation and contemplation, and I have done hours of both. And for me, meditation is not as fast as contemplation is, but contemplation inside the rule of, like, I have a spiritual teacher still right now who I work with who does contemplative. And I've done the Buddhist Shambhala meditation route as well. I prefer the contemplative route.
Do you do personal coaching as well?
I have in the past, but I'm now to the point where I'm so expensive because people want to come in and get personal coaching and business coaching at the same time, and they strategy. And I really work with high-end, really high-end entrepreneurs that have, you know, businesses that are 30 million, 50 million a year, one-on-one, you know, startup coaching. No, there's so many people out there that do it. Right. I want to take you where you're stuck and you're like, hi, I made 1 to 3 million and now I need to get 5 to 10 to 20 million. That unstuckness is where I work.
Okay. So we're better off to buy the books. It's all going to
be the books. That is, yeah. I mean, all the stuff I go through with my private clients are all in those books at an amazing price.
Don't forget to add that, of course. So where else can my listeners find you, Vicki?
VickiHelm.com. VickiHelm.com. And if you're interested in learning more about money and wealth and things like that, you can go right now. The site's down today because we're updating it, but there's smartwealthnews.com, smartwealthnews. Okay. And there's always the Coffee Break Show and Metadyne right. Digital Network. If you're interested though, if you're like, I want to learn how to do business with you, I want you to go to the Freedom Seekers Way, which is Seek Hers. It's freedom and S-E-E-K-H-E-R-S. This is for women, especially for business women who want their own business, et cetera. Freedomseekersway.com.
If you go to Vicki's website, it's all here. Website.
That's why I always say VickiHelm.com, and it's V-I-C-K-I-E.
I know.
V-I-C-K-I-E-H-E-L-M. I always get that. I looked for Vicki, but I couldn't find you.
I know. You should just drop the E. Really?
I love the E.
It'll be so much easier for people. This was a powerful episode. I really want to thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed myself so much, Susan. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.